The Roman historian Livy lived at the time of Jesus. In fact, he died while Jesus was a young man. And Livy tells a story about life in the Roman Empire, in which this certain story within the story was told to keep a group of commoners in a certain city from rebelling against the wealthier citizens under whom they served. Now, this story was later added to Aesop's Fables, and in that collection, the story goes like this. Back when all the parts of the human body did not function in unison, as is the case today, each member of the body had its own opinion and was able to speak. The various members were offended that everything won by their hard work and diligent efforts was delivered to the stomach, while he simply sat there in their midst, fully at ease and just enjoying the delights that were brought to him. Finally, the members of the body revolted. The hands refused to bring food to the mouth, the mouth refused to take in any food, and the teeth refused to chew anything. In their angry effort to subdue the stomach with hunger, the various parts of the body and the whole body itself completely wasted away. As a result, they realized that the work done by the stomach was no small matter, and that the food he consumed was no more than what he gave back to all the parts of the body in the form of blood, which allows us to flourish and thrive, since the stomach enriches the blood with digested food and then distributes it equally throughout the veins. So Livy says that that story was told to help the commoners understand that we're all connected. We all have to work together here. Yes, you bring your harvest to the rich person, and yes, it looks like they just take it all in for themselves, but really they share it with everyone. And apparently the story worked. The commoners got the point. They quieted down, and the city was saved. Well, this is one example of teachings like this from the time of the New Testament. Teachings like that about the interconnectedness of people, as represented by the interconnectedness of the parts of the body, were fairly common in the first century Roman Empire. And the Apostle Paul also used an illustration like that one time to describe the unity of the various individuals who make up the church, which is the body of Christ. So listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture about the unity of the church. Now, where does Paul say that the church's unity as one body comes from? Well, to Paul, the church's unity comes from God, specifically from God's Holy Spirit. In fact, the whole Trinity is involved in the unity of the church. God the Father arranges all the parts of the body. We together are the body of Christ, who is our leader. The body belongs to Him. He is our head. And the Spirit gives each of us birth into the body of Christ through baptism. So, because the Spirit has brought us together into one body, there can be no division among us. And so, for example, there are no ethnic divisions among us. Paul mentions Jews and Greeks. There's no division between the two in the body of Christ. All are part of the same body. And that is an encouraging message and an important reminder and challenge for us in a time when racial issues are still very sensitive and very important in our nation. We who are the body of Christ, remember that we come from every kind of race and ethnicity there is, and we together are one in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And we are united in spite of differences in social status as well. Paul says, whether slaves or free, both are together in one body and vital parts of it. Persons of every status share an equal standing in the church, all belong to the body, whether high class or low class, rich or poor, powerful or lowly. When Paul wrote this teaching to the church in the city of Corinth almost 2,000 years ago, he was dealing with a certain problem. It comes up a few times in 1 Corinthians. Apparently, some people in the church were exalting themselves over other people in the church. So in chapters 1 through 4, Paul describes how some are exalting themselves based on which Christian leader they follow. Do you follow Cephas, who is Peter, or do you follow Apollos, or do you follow Paul? And in chapter 11, he says the better off believers were excluding the poor from sharing in the Lord's Supper meal. Can you imagine? And then in chapters 12 to 14, where we're drawing our text from today, it sounds like some were exalting themselves over others on the basis of who had the most dramatic spiritual gifts, like speaking in tongues or prophecy. And one way that Paul deals with this last problem is by reminding the church that all of us in Christ are one body and we all need each other. So this sermon series I'm calling Lessons from a Virus. One of the lessons that we've learned from this pandemic is something we knew already, but with the pandemic we see it all the more clearly. God created us to be one body, and we need each other. We were apart physically, though not in spirit, for a long time and through no fault of our own. And many of us are still apart from the rest of us. In fact, even those who are able to come together cannot all come together because we have to be divided into two services. So it's kind of like when my daughter Anna's elbow was dislocated in kindergarten. You remember how dangerous kindergarten is. It was a playground accident. The elbow was dislocated. There was a lot of pain, as you can imagine. And I got a call from the school, come get your daughter. Okay, came and got her, took her to the ER. And the doctor ran x-rays, and then I found everything nothing was broken, so it was okay in that regard. But it still hurt, and that's kind of how it is for us right now. Things are a little better now that some of us are able to come together, but we're still hurting until we can be together again fully, preferably without masks and social distancing. Yet in Christ and through the Holy Spirit, by the work of God the Father, we are still one body, the body of Christ. And not just us in this congregation, but us here together with all of God's churches around the world. We are one body. Now, life together in one body can be complicated, and Paul addresses a couple of problems that might come up in churches and that seem to have come up in Corinth. Problem number one is that some members of the body might think they do not belong. So listen again to 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So problem number one, again, is that some parts of the body might think they don't belong. The foot thinks it doesn't belong because it's not a hand. The ear thinks it doesn't belong because it's not an eye. And everyone knows how amazing the hands and the eyes are, the wonderful things that they do. What is the solution to this problem? We might compare ourselves to others in the church and think we're not as important or as worthy as they are. What does Paul think is the solution? Well, to Paul, the solution is God. God himself arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. And so, if you think you're less important in the church than, I don't know, let's just say a preacher or something, who are you to tell God that you're not a part of the body or that you're not an important part of the body? God has decided that you are. If every part of the body were a preacher, Jim, can you imagine? It would be so noisy, first of all. You know, who would do all the things that the preacher didn't have time to get to? Right? Or, quite frankly, who would do the things that the preacher is not good at, but that you're good at? Because God has gifted you in that way. And I don't know about you. Excuse me. I don't know about you, but I don't want even my smallest left toe to decide suddenly that it's not important because it's not the big toe. I need that little toe. Every person in the body, Paul says, belongs to the body because God has arranged every part of the body just as he chose so that the body would have every part that it needs. So you individually are important to the life of the church and to the work that we do together for God's kingdom. If you're not sure how you're important, what your role is, how God has called you to serve, if you're just not sure and you're saying, well, I'm not sure what gift God wants me to bring to the church, I just don't know. I don't know what I can do. I would encourage you to do two things. First, pray. Pray to God and ask him to reveal the role that he wants you to play in the life of the church. Just ask him what it is he wants you to do. Ask him to reveal that. And then second, do everything that God gives you to do. And it may seem like, well, it's not very much. It's not very big. Or it may seem like, and I'm not sure this is what God wants for me long term. But just do it. Just do what God gives you to do. Experiment with it a little bit. Try out different things, whatever God might give you to do. And serve every way you can. And God will bless your efforts as you serve. You will be a blessing to the church as you're searching for your niche. And you'll find that niche because God will lead you to it. In fact, he may be preparing you for it right now without you knowing. God has called each of us to be a part of the body of Christ. But right now, when we have to be apart so much, you might feel sometimes like you're that foot or that ear that thinks it's not part of the body. I mean, how are you needed in the church if you can't even be with the church, or if you can't serve directly with the church? Yet you are precious to God and to His church. You are a vital part of the body. God has made you a member of the body of Christ, and the body needs you daily. We need you to love the church. We need you to pray for the church. Always, always pray for the church. We need you to encourage us when you're able. We need you to help however you can when you're able. My daughter's elbow, it didn't stop being a part of the body when it was dislocated. I mean, it was still there. It just wasn't connected the right way, right? And so took her to the ER, and the whole body hurt. But, you know, amputation was just not an option. We just didn't actually even consider it. And then once the elbow was put right, the pain went away. It was the most amazing medical procedure I've ever personally witnessed, I think, off the top of my head. The doctor, you know, checked the arm, asked, does this hurt? And then he just went tweak, turned it a little bit, and it was fixed. And the pain was gone. And there was healing. You are a vital part of the body of Christ. So hang in there. Keep the faith. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Pray for the church. Pray for our elders. Pray for each one of us. Pray for me. Pray that God would heal us. The church needs you. Problem number two is kind of the reverse of problem number one. Where in problem number one person might think they're not important enough, not worthy. In problem number two, some members of the body might think they don't need other members. And so listen to Paul in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Problem number two, some parts of the body may think they don't need the other parts. The eye thinks it doesn't need the hand. The head thinks it doesn't need the feet. It's kind of like the hands and the mouth and the teeth in Livy's story as they rebelled against the stomach. Well, again, what does Paul think is the solution to this problem? And once again, to Paul, the solution is God. God has so composed the body that the parts that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. You couldn't do without them. Even if you could, you wouldn't want to. The less honorable parts are given greater honor, and the unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. So the parts of the body that seem less necessary at first glance turn out to be absolutely vital, like the little toe on the left foot. It can't lift a lot of weight like the arm can, but without it, the body's going to have a hard time staying balanced and moving around while the arm is doing its lifting. In fact, after worship earlier this morning, one of our members came up. He showed me on his phone that he had researched what the little toe is good for, and it turns out if you lose your little toe, you have to totally relearn how to walk because you put so much weight on that little toe without even realizing it. Some parts of the body are weaker, like that little toe. They're just not as strong as other parts. Some parts of the body are less honorable. They do the dirty work because somebody has to do it. Some parts of the body are unpresentable. They need to not be the public face of the church. They're just not ready for that. And that's fine because Paul says in verses 24 and 25, God has given greater honor to the parts that need it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. God's goal is that the members of the body would all have the same care for one another. And I think that's a big part of what's going to get us as a church through this pandemic by the grace of God. The way we care for one another, the way we care for the body of Christ. It's hard to be a body when we're apart. And I don't mean just at worship either. We can't go visit some of our elderly folks because they're quarantined. They can't get out and they can't have anybody come in. And so we're kept apart. We can't share a potluck meal together right now. We can't as easily gather even in small groups for Bible study or prayer. We're doing a little bit. We're doing what we can. But it's hard. But there are some ways we can care for each other. We're streaming our worship services live on Zoom. We're sending out DVDs of the worship service to our folks who are shut in, quarantined, and do not have internet access so that they can share in this with us. We're praying for each other. Whatever happens, we can always pray for each other. Always, always pray for each other. Paul says in verse 26 that when one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. And when one member of the body is honored, all the members rejoice together. So one thing we can do right now is suffer together and rejoice together as we see others suffering, others being honored. That's one way for us to be a body caring for one another. And we will get through this pandemic as a body because we remember God. God who placed each of us through the Spirit into the body of Christ, each in a little different way, on purpose, each a different part of the body, each one created to play a little bit different role. We need each other, every member of the body, together in person, together online, together in spirit. And we appreciate one another as members of the same body. May God bless the body of Christ. And may God bless you today. Let's pray together. Lord our God, as you have seen fit to bring us together into one body through your Spirit to be the body of Christ, so Lord, bless the body of Christ, both here and throughout the world. Bless us, dear Lord. You know that it's been hard for us to be apart. We were apart for several months, and now even as we're able to come together a little bit, it's still only some of us, and others can only meet with us online, if that. Others share in our time together through a DVD, watching it on their TV. Lord, we thank you for each avenue we have to connect with each other, but Lord, this is hard for us. Bless the body of Christ in this place and around the world. Lord, watch over us, encourage us, help us, show us what our roles are, and give us willing hearts that we may serve one another and serve faithfully in your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to be good to your body and to strengthen it, to build it up. We pray, dear Lord, for the speeding of that day when we'll be able to come together, all together, without missing anyone. We pray, Lord, that you would speed that day. In the meantime, help us to be faithful. We look to you, and we give you thanks for your great love by which we were brought into the body of Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us as the body of your Son this week. In Jesus' name, amen.